This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in Proverbs, wrapping up chapter 14 and then 15, with tranquil heart, soft answer, severe discipline, path of life, and humility before honor. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Thank you. reading from 2 John. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and to talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when was the last time you wrote a letter? A letter on paper with ink. I guess it's been a long time. And maybe for some of you, you've never done it because cards don't count here. But today we have a whole letter. A whole letter as it was written in the ancient world. Written probably on one sheet of papyrus and sent out, because that was the fastest way to communicate in the ancient world before there were, of course, all our modern communication means that made letters a thing of the past. If you're nostalgic, you might write one. If your grandparents would like one. But normally, it's text and then maybe email. So we have this letter written by the presbyter, who is the Apostle John, and he sends this letter to a lady and her children, which most likely means a congregation and the members of this congregation. He writes a letter because John is concerned. He's concerned for them. Now, not all is bad in this congregation. He mentions that some in the congregation walk the way of truth. Now, that's, of course, kind of a, almost like a poison compliment. Some of you are doing the right thing, but others aren't. And what is the problem in this congregation? Well, the problem is that there are certain people that come into this congregation, maybe also to others, and St. John calls them deceivers. How do you spot a deceiver? Well, they don't come to you and say, "Hello, I'm a deceiver." These preachers came to the congregation and said, "We are preachers of Christ. We would like to serve you. We would like to preach." And that was not uncommon in this time, that you had these itinerant preachers. They claim to preach Christ, but they don't. Not only they are deceivers, even the word antichrist is used here. Why? Because they do not confess that Christ came into the flesh. Yes, they were still talking about Jesus. Probably they were still talking about Jesus as the eternal Son of God, but they were not talking about the real Jesus. The real Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who became man. Maybe they were part of that school that taught that Jesus was a heavenly being, but he never really became man. Now, such a heavenly being that appears on this earth but doesn't become flesh and blood, takes upon himself flesh and blood, well, how can such a being save us? By telling us what to do, or giving us some secret knowledge about ourselves and the world, the key that makes you understand everything, and now you are in, and now you can escape the lie. It's a little bit like a conspiracy theory, and somebody tells you, "This is the truth, and now you know." But that's a different kind of salvation than the real salvation, the salvation wrought by Christ. Because the salvation that wrought Christ, that was wrought by Christ, was accomplished in the flesh, in his death for us, and in his resurrection. You can't have that without coming into the flesh. No, Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And without incarnation, without the coming into the flesh, there is no deliverance on the cross for our sins, nor there is the bodily resurrection for our justification. All that is left is then some salvation by knowledge or by telling us what to do. So those who deny that Christ came into the flesh, they lose Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And so they end up without a way to God, without truth, and without life. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. The teaching of Christ is first and foremost the teaching of Christ about himself, namely that he is the Son sent by the Father so that all who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God, because God is ours only in the gift of his Son. There might be a lot of talk about Jesus, about God, but it is all that is nothing when one does not hold fast to this teaching of Christ, namely that Christ and Christ alone is Savior. In John's time, it was those who denied that Jesus came into the flesh. They are Antichrist. They are people who claim to preach Christ. Antichrist is not some political figure that persecutes the church, as so many think. No, Antichrist is in the church, claiming to be the church. Church history and the present state of Christianity gives us plenty of examples where there are preachers that use the name of Christ, but do not abide in Christ's teaching. A denial that Christ has come in the flesh is nowadays not necessarily the most popular thing. Rather, it's the other way around, that yes, Jesus is not the eternal Son coming into the flesh, but rather Jesus is only a man. But you end up with the same thing as those who deny that Jesus was truly a man. Jesus the man, if that's all he is, what is he for you? A teacher of good morals, an example that will spur you on, but not the Savior who took upon himself your sin, died for it on the cross, and was raised for your justification. All forms of works righteousness are also a denial of the teaching of Christ and truly of Christ as the Savior. This was true in the time of the Reformation, and it is true today. Yes, you can confess that Jesus is true God and true man, and functionally deny it when you push Jesus away as the way to God and make your pious works the way. That is really not better than the debased form of Christianity that sees Jesus as a teacher and example who shows us the way and gives us pep talks and inspiring thoughts. And therefore, there can be no fellowship with these preachers who preach a different gospel. Don't receive them in your homes does mean don't support them in their ministry. When they come, they need hospitality. Don't give it to them. Don't support them. And maybe it means even more, because when it is actually written to a house church, receive them in your house, that's the place where worship is. Don't receive them in your house would then mean don't receive them in your service. Don't receive them and let them preach, let them teach their false doctrines. And the greeting that is refused would then not simply be saying hello, but welcoming them into the service as brothers. Now that's harsh, but what is at stake here is everything. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. John has worked so that they believe in Christ and that their reward will be eternal life. Where the stakes are high, the warnings must be serious. How does that go together with the admonition to love in the same letter? Isn't there some kind of a tension here? No, actually it goes together very well. Because to love does not mean to affirm everybody in what he or she believes. To love does not mean to deny the truth in order not to offend anybody. It's not an act of love to affirm others in their error or even embrace error to make them happy. Yes, and it's true, the truth can be used in such a way that is abused by the one who speaks the truth. The right teaching can be used to justify sinful arrogance, ruthless politicking, and a callous lack for concern for our neighbor, because after all, we are far too busy to denounce heresy than actually do something for our neighbor in his bodily needs. But the remedy for such sins is not to say, well, let's not be too picky about these things. The remedy cannot be doctrinal indifference. Now, if the truth is so abused to justify our sins, where we use it to puff ourselves up, the solution to that is repentance. Repentance of our sins. And listen to, yes, also the teaching of Christ, that other teaching that is mentioned, that we love one another. May God give us that we walk in the truth and love one another. Amen.
Amen.
In our prayers, we remember Werner Meyer, grandfather of Savannah Engelder, as he nears death.
O Lord, hear my prayer. To always have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Eternal Father, be gracious and merciful to Werner, whose death seems imminent. Keep him in his baptismal grace and prepare him to commit himself to your eternal care and keeping. Give him a repentant heart, firm faith, and a lively hope. Let not the fear of death cause him to waver in confidence and trust. At your chosen time, grant him a peaceful departure and a joyous entrance into eternal life with the glorious company of your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.